Imagine a world where the internet isn't something you access, it's implanted directly into your brain from birth. This is the chilling reality of Feed, where teenagers like Titus navigate a dystopian America dominated by corporate control and environmental collapse. What makes this vision so unsettling isn't just the technology, but how accurately it portrays the way constant connectivity reshapes human relationships and erodes our capacity for empathy and critical thinking. When Titus and his friends take a spring break trip to the moon, now just another commercialized tourist trap, they encounter a hacker who temporarily disconnects their feeds, forcing them to confront the emptiness of their digitally dependent lives. This brief disconnection sets in motion a story that serves as a disturbing mirror to our own increasing digital dependence. The feed isn't merely a convenience. It's society's central organizing principle. It anticipates desires with frightening accuracy, suggesting purchases based on algorithms that track behavior patterns, emotions, and social connections. Traditional skills like reading and critical thinking have atrophied since information can be instantly accessed through neural pathways. Even verbal communication seems tedious when people can chat directly through their feeds, sharing not just words but sensations. Earth is environmentally devastated, with artificial air factories replacing forests and dead oceans filled with synthetic compounds. Most food grows in laboratory meat farms, where tissue cultivates in fields connected by blood tubes. Education has been privatized into school TM, teaching children primarily to be better consumers rather than critical thinkers. What makes this world so disturbing isn't just its collapse or corporate domination, it's how normal it all seems to the characters. Having never known anything different, they accept their reality without question, consuming products while the world literally falls apart around them. Titus and his friends epitomize teenagers in a feed-dominated world. They communicate in degraded slang that reflects their limited capacity for expression, constantly seeking new thrills or purchases to escape their perpetual boredom. Their conversations remain shallow, peppered with corporate catchphrases that have become part of their vocabulary. With minimal attention spans and virtually no knowledge of history or the world beyond their immediate experience, they exist in a perpetual present. We first encounter them engaged in mindless activities, giving each other electric shocks for fun and complaining that the moon sucks while visiting it. Their identities are wholly defined by consumption, with fleeting fashion trends like artificial skin lesions, birching, serving as meaningless status symbols. These teens aren't villains, but victims of a system designed to keep them perpetually dissatisfied, yet consuming. Their emotional development has been stunted, creating a generation unable to process genuine feelings or face real challenges. When confronted with serious issues like death or environmental collapse, they retreat into entertainment or shopping, their only learned coping mechanism. Violet Dern stands apart during Titus's moon vacation. Unlike his friends, she received her feed late in childhood because her academic father couldn't afford it earlier, giving her the ability to see the feed as an intrusion rather than a natural extension of herself. Violet distinguishes herself through her simple gray wool dress, formal vocabulary, book reading, and handwriting with an actual pen. Most significantly, she actively resists the feed by researching products without buying them, deliberately confusing prediction algorithms. Through Violet, we glimpse what's been lost in this feed-dominated world. She values knowledge for its own sake, questions corporate motives, and notices environmental devastation others ignore. She seeks authentic experiences, watching juice float in zero gravity, exploring a dead moon garden, contemplating the unnaturally colored sea. When the hacker damages her feed, Violet's resistance becomes a survival fight as her brain-technology interface deteriorates. FeedTech rejects her repair petition because her unpredictable purchasing history makes her an unreliable investment, revealing that human value equals consumer value. The relationship between Titus and Violet forms the emotional core of the story. Their connection begins with genuine attraction, blossoms into something like love, but ultimately collapses under their different worldviews. Titus is captivated by Violet's uniqueness, her vocabulary, observations, and different way of moving through the world. When their feeds are temporarily disabled after the hacking incident, they connect more authentically, sharing quiet moments looking at a dead garden and imagining different futures. As Violet's condition deteriorates, the gap between them widens. Shaped by instant gratification, Titus lacks the emotional tools to handle her illness. He avoids her messages, lies about receiving her memories, and abandons her when she needs him most. During their final weekend, he cruelly tells her intimacy with her feels like being felt up by a zombie. This failure isn't entirely Titus's fault. He's a product of his environment, never taught how to face suffering or mortality. When confronted with Violet's decline, he retreats into consumption, ordering countless pants in a desperate attempt to escape his grief and guilt. Anderson's use of language reveals intellectual deterioration in this feed-dominated world. Titus and his friends speak in degraded slang with placeholder words like thing and intensifiers like meg or null. Their limited vocabulary constrains their ability to express complex thoughts, trapping them in perpetual adolescence without the emotional intelligence needed for deep relationships. The contrast between Titus's basic narration and Violet's speech highlights this decline. While Titus struggles with expression, Violet uses words like malevolent, filigree, and picayune, terms that confuse his friends. Her rich vocabulary represents an entirely different way of perceiving the world, demonstrating how expanded vocabulary enables expanded consciousness. Language deterioration warns about outsourcing thinking to technology. If information is always accessible, why learn anything? If communication reduces to brief messages, what happens to our ability to construct complex arguments or express subtle emotions? The novel suggests language isn't just for communication, it's the architecture of thought itself, its degradation representing a fundamental loss of human capacity. Throughout the story, the feed creates an illusion of freedom while actually directing choices. Characters believe they're making independent decisions, but these are carefully curated by algorithms based on their previous behavior. When Titus shops for an up car, dealerships show him personalized visions based on his profile. Not just advertisements, but narratives designed to make him feel specific purchases will fulfill his deepest desires. The feed doesn't just respond to preferences, it actively shapes them, creating rapidly changing trends that keep consumers perpetually dissatisfied and buying. Even rebellion becomes commodified. When Titus and friends wear riot gear, clothing designed to look beaten up from historical riots, their attempt at political expression has been packaged and sold back as fashion. As our own technologies become more personalized, are we moving toward a similar reality where algorithms invisibly shape our choices to maximize consumption rather than happiness? When we scroll through endless feeds, are we choosing what to see or being shown what will keep us scrolling and seeing ads the longest?